turn with me in your Bibles then to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. On this Mother's Day 2015, I'm going to be speaking mainly to the mothers that are here today, but everyone please listen in, because of course the principles from God's Word apply to all of us. But specifically the charge will be for mothers on this Mother's Day. Proverbs 14:1, reading from God's holy word. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine, word of God, and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Dear Heavenly Father, may this be the prayer of each one of us as we look at your word of truth, your holy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This Mother's Day, we are here gathered to honor our mothers. Our starting point is that every person here has a mother. Otherwise, you would not be here. Exodus 20, verse 12, is the fifth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That word for honor in Hebrew is kabed, give weight to, promote, esteem, reverence, respect your mother, irregardless whether you deem her worthy or not. Why? Because God has conferred this title of mother and father to the two people God has chosen to be your life givers. A mother deserves honor and reverence because we owe our being to her. Mother is indeed a divine title because of Exodus 20, verse 12, and where it is placed on that Ten Commandments. You remember that we have two tablets, five on each of the tablets. The first five have to do with God. The last five have to do with man. And it's interesting that that fifth commandment is a transitional one between those first four commandments specifically and the last five commandments. There is a sense, you see, that the mother is to be God's representative to her children. And where she fails as to her God-given title and responsibility, she will incur God's wrath. Susanna Wesley exemplifies what makes a homemaker. Her legalistic faults are well documented, and it's sad if that detracts from all of her positive traits that women should imitate and so mirror Christ. John 8:7 says, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. Susanna Wesley raised a godly family that included Charles and John Wesley, who God used to fan revival fires in England, and whose godly influence is still being felt around the world today. Susanna was born in 1669 in London, England. She was the 25th and last child of Reverend Samuel Annesley. Her grandparents on her father's side were Puritans who raised a son, Samuel, who from the age of five and throughout his life, listen to this, read 25 chapters of Scripture every single day. Samuel Annesley was Susanna's father. He became a nonconformist, dissenting minister from the Anglican Church of England after 1662. But Susanna did not share her father's view or his particular beliefs. And by age 13, she left her father's church and went and joined the Church of England. At the time of her church decision, she met Samuel Wesley, who had also turned his back on his dissenting parents' beliefs and who also had joined the Anglicans. And the Anglicans, or the Church of England, you know, put emphasis on works righteousness rather than faith alone. At age 19, Samuel Wesley and Susanna Annesley were married. And for the next 19 years, Susanna basically had one child per year. 19 children in all. but only 11 survived into their youth and adulthood. Samuel became the pastor at Epworth, England, and Susanna raised her family at the rectory with the help of one or sometimes two house servants. The question that arises for you and I today is, what makes Susanna Wesley a mother figure to be emulated or imitated? A faithful woman that should be a godly heroine to women of faith and mothers today. How did Susanna Wesley, in godly wisdom, build her house? What makes a homemaker? The first point this morning, and follow along please in the outline that's included in your bulletin. The first point is, she builds by dependence. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. A godly homemaker realizes that without God's help and without the wisdom of God, her efforts would fail. This verse parallels 9:1. It says, wisdom has built her house, and 8:35, whoever finds me wisdom finds her life and obtains favor from the Lord. Wisdom begets life, eternal life, heaven, heavenly life on earth, and blessings from the Lord, the smiles of God. What is wisdom? In the Hebrew, it's called chokmah. H-O-E-K-M-A, chokmah. And for the ancient Greeks, wisdom was abstract learning. It was philosophy consisting of speculation, divorce from life, mere opinion and debate, not submission to revealed truth, the revealed truth of God. Friends, there is no true wisdom without the Lord and his revealed word of truth. And there is no true wisdom without dependence on him and total submission to him and to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom consists in learning how to understand God's word and then acquiring the skill to and expertise to apply it most effectively in godly living. Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10 are theme verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Friends, there's no true knowledge or wisdom without the fear of the Lord. John Murray defines the fear of the Lord as the soul of godliness. It's the mark of a Christian. It's the sum of piety or heartfelt devotion to God. It's the controlling sense of the majesty of God and the profound reverence which such an apprehension elicits. Susanna Wesley walked in fear of God, and her testimony was John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Susanna understood Augustine and the doctrine of concurrence, flowing together with divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Augustine said, and Susanna agreed, pray as if it all depended on God, work as if it all depended on you. The ultimacy of anything was from the Almighty God in his sovereign hand. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs it. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What makes a homemaker? The first point was, she builds by dependence. The second point is, she builds by discipline. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her hands. Discipline, what is that? That is so foreign to our culture today, which is so lax. Every man does what he pleases, just like in the book of Judges. Discipline pertains to orderly instruction, conduct, self-control, a consistent, patient, constant routine, and a regimented training towards a specified goal. You know, we in America today, I'm afraid, we view the disciplined life of Susanna Wesley like she was some kind of a drill sergeant. She cracked the whip, and she never, never, ever cracked a smile. And we'd say, loosen up, lady, get a life. Well, that may be our thoughts until we compare the fruit from her godly efforts compared to ours. Friends, discipline is both caught and taught. The godly woman both exemplifies discipline in her own life that her children and others can witness, but she also manages to inculcate that discipline into her family's life through each day, faithfully staying the course with the end results in constant view. I remember a man that I grew up with. He served on a board with me, a church board with me, and he was observing some young people in church in their disciplined life. And he made this comment to me, I so wish that I was that disciplined. Friends, there's so much lack of godliness and overt sin that is tied to an undisciplined life. No training, no discipline. Proverbs 22:6, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Susanna carefully structured her day and actions. She set apart a room in her house for training and educating her children. She taught them from 9 to 12 and from 2 to 5, 6 days a week, 6 hours every day. Her children learned to read from Scripture by the age of 5. They started each day with the Psalms and prayers. Then they were assigned a chapter from the Old Testament and the New Testament to study. Then came Latin, how to read music and poetry. And then in the evening, they learned Greek and Hebrew from their father. Susanna had strict rules to train her children to be obedient, respect authority, exercise self-control, and to be well-mannered. Her ultimate goal was to conquer the children's stubborn will. Listen to this. This is what Susanna once wrote. In order to firm the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer their will and to bring them to an obedient temper. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must with children proceed by small degrees as they are able to bear it. But subjecting the will is a thing that must be done at once, and the sooner the better, for by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and an obstinacy which are hardly ever after conquered, and never without using such severity as would be painful to me as to the child. And when the will of the child is totally subdued and it's brought to revere and stand in awe of the parents, then a great many childish follies and inadvertencies may be passed by. Some should be overlooked and taken no notice of, and others mildly reproved, but no willful transgression ought ever to be forgiven children without chastisement, less or more, as the nature and circumstances of the offense may require. Friends, Susanna's discipline, you'll note, was not without heart. It had a good balance, and it molded godly character. Character being defined as the inward desire to do what is right according to the highest standard, which is God's word. Doctrine or Bible truth begets character, and character begets conduct. Discipline is not easy. It requires lots of prayer and a steadfast commitment to God, dependence on him to stay the course for the desired result, which is a godly family. Mothers, how is the discipline in your life? Do you expect to see it in your loved ones if it is not evident in you? What makes a homemaker? The first point is she builds by dependence. The second point is she builds by discipline. The third point is she builds by devotion. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Friends, all the study of scripture, theology, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, must result in a deeper piety toward God. Piety being defined as a heartfelt devotion to God. Otherwise, as to the true Christian walk, it's all for naught, nothing. It's a failure. It just amounts to 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2, being built up with your knowledge, puffed up, and not realizing in your sin how little you truly know. In 1725, Susanna wrote this to her son John. I earnestly pray God to avert the great evil from you of engaging in trifling studies. Why did Susanna write that? She was concerned that John at Oxford would be in his religious studies diverted from heartfelt devotion to God and the life practice of practical devotion to God. Susanna, friends, practiced what she preached. Her disciplined life extended to her devotional life. When she was five years old, she decided to spend as much time in prayer and Bible study as she did in recreation. At age 30, she changed her childhood vow, increasing her devotional study to 2 hours per day. 2 hours per day of devotional study. And remember, she had 6 hours of school with her children 6 days a week, plus the daily care for 11 children and doing the labor-intensive 17th century homemaking jobs such as hauling water and lighting fires. Mothers, how is your devotion time with the Lord? A true saint regards their devotion time with the Lord as a top priority. Are your children aware that you spend a quiet time with the Lord each day in prayer and in Bible study and meditation on God's Word? And the busier you get, the more time you need to spend with the Lord. Susanna mimicked Martin Luther. Martin Luther, if he knew that the day that he was going to face was filled with more struggle than usual, what did he do? He got out of bed 2 hours earlier in the morning to study, to pray, to meditate on God's Word so that he would be equipped then to meet the struggles of that day. Susanna Wesley mimicked Martin Luther. The depth of Susanna's devotion to God was expressed after her husband Samuel's death. She said this, I have long since chosen God for my only good, my all, my pleasure, my happiness in this world and in the world to come. Mothers, women of grace, may God be your steadfast heart's devotion through all the ups and downs and struggles of this life. What makes a homemaker? The first point is she builds by dependence. The second point, she builds by discipline. The third point, she builds by devotion. And the fourth point, she builds by desire. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. She builds by desire. 2 Timothy 2:15 was a life verse of Susanna Wesley. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. George Mueller had that verse also as a theme of his life, and he adopted that theme of his life with the end in mind of Matthew 25:21, that one day God would say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, I will make you over ruler over many things, enter into the joy of your Lord. That was also the ultimate goal of Susanna Wesley's life. She wrote this to Suki, one of her children. Listen to this. You have learned some prayers, your creed and catechism. But Suki, it is not learning these things by heart, nor your saying a few prayers morning and night that will bring you to heaven. You must understand what you say. I cannot tell if you have ever considered the lost and miserable condition you are in by nature. If you have not, it is high time to begin to do it, and I shall earnestly beseech the Almighty to enlighten your mind, that you may be his child by adoption here and an heir of his blessed kingdom hereafter. To facilitate by God's grace the salvation of her children and their knowing God experientially, Susanna faithfully spent quality one-on-one time with her children each day. She considered that during the week they may pick up negative things from their friends, associates, and neighbors. Mothers, do you consider what peer pressure is doing to your children at school each day? Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. Are you concerned about the friendships, the friends that your children have at school? Do they have Christian friends or do they have worldly friends? Are they leading them to Jesus or away from Jesus? Susanna Wesley was concerned about the negative things that her children would pick up from friends and associates, neighbors during the week. So what she did was she committed 1 hour each week alone with each of her children. No small task for a household of 11 children. Consider this. Today, the studies have found that the average mother spends only 11 quality minutes, that's exclusive playing and teaching time, with her children during weekdays. 11 minutes of quality minutes, exclusive playing and teaching time with her children during the workdays, and 30 minutes per day on the weekend. That's it. What prompted Susanna's actions? Friends, it was this. She wanted her children to know and love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. Matthew 22:37. Jesus says the greatest commandment is what? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, and with all your mind. Women of grace, mothers, do you spend quality time with your loved ones? Do you focus on the things of the Lord? What's the top desire for your children? Do you want them to get a good job, good education, good health, good spouse? Or do you desire, first and foremost, that your loved ones love Jesus as Savior and Lord, that they truly want to follow and serve him? I can't think of, but think of the elder, the Apostle John, writing to his beloved children in the church. He says, 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. That should be the highest desire of every godly mother here. And that should be the focus and desire where she puts her efforts through God's enabling, that she has no greater joy than her children walk in truth. By God's grace, that goal was achieved for Susanna Wesley. But friends, we need to know there are no guarantees here. Remember, Rebecca raised not only a Jacob, but she also raised an Esau. Proverbs 22:6 says, you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Remember, that's a maxim. That's not an absolute. It's a proverb, a maxim, not an absolute. But through the means of grace, such as your disciplined life, and your personal prayer life, and your living Christ before them, and your prayers, by God's grace, your loved ones will one day say to you, as John Wesley did to Susanna, his mother. He said this, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than I did from all the theologians in England. What makes a homemaker? 4 points this morning. She builds by dependence. She builds by discipline. She builds by devotion. And lastly, she builds by desire. Friends, Susanna Wesley was a homemaker par excellence. She's a hero of faith for mothers today to emulate. And she did so through difficulties. She had trials. She had trials that tested her faith in God, but at the same time, it also deepened that faith in God. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations with the comfort by which we are comforted of God, that we may be able to comfort others who are in those same troubles. 8 children of her 19 children died in their first few years of life. And opponents of her husband, the pastor, burned their house to the ground in 1709. And in that fire, her son of 5 years old, Jackie, that was the nickname for John Wesley, Jackie. And Jackie was missing in the fire. And Samuel's dad couldn't find him after he tried to rescue him on the upper floor. He couldn't get through the flames. So he cried out to God and through his tears, and he committed his son's soul to God. But Jackie had climbed to an upper window's ledge, and he was rescued by two men who braved the flames and plucked Jackie off the window's casement just before the roof caved in on the upper floor. And Susanna's reaction was this, that God had a special plan for her son Jackie. Perhaps this narrow escape meant that God would indeed use him in a mighty way for the furtherance of his kingdom. You know, Susanna was a lot like Jochebed, the mother of Moses, in Hebrews 11, 2 and 3. And she looked on her son Moses that he was no ordinary child from God. Little did that faithful, disciplined mother, Susanna, know the extent to which God would use her son to further his kingdom through Methodism and religious societies. Mothers, women of grace, this Mother's Day, make a commitment to the Lord your God to be a woman of grace like Susanna Wesley. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread upon the waters and you shall find it after many days. And I pray that you will be faithful to God, that you'll live a disciplined, godly life. You'll raise your children up to love and follow Jesus, that would be the constant passion of your life, and that your loved ones may taste the fruit of your disciplined, faithful devotion to the Lord. And one day, your children may rise up, and in Proverbs 31:28, they will call you blessed. And one day you will hear your Savior say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the godly mothers that are here, for your grace, your mercy to them, for your spirit in them. We pray for a filling of your spirit in them and enabling to live a life such as Susanna Wesley before their children, that their passion, the aim of their life would indeed, that they would say, I have no greater joy than my children follow in the truth, that they know and love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, that in their own efforts they will fail. It's only through the filling of the Holy Spirit that this is indeed possible and can happen. And we just pray that each one of the mothers here will live godly lives, lean on you for that strength, and we will see the fruit evidenced in their lives here at Grace Baptist Church. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.